We've been on a series called The Inner Life, and we've been looking at a bunch of different things over the last several weeks, and I just want to highlight them for us. We started with saying that everybody was created in the image of God, that every person that walks on this planet bears the image of a creator. You're all image bearers. Whether you believe in that creator or not, you're still an image bearer. That's what we believe. But when sin entered the world, a distorted view came into being. And so Miguel preached and told us about moving from fear to trust, moving from a place of fear, which sin brought us to a place of trusting God to get back to the place he wants us to. Then we talked about lies versus truth. We talked about darkness, moving from darkness into light. And last week we talked about moving from shame into honor. And as a preaching team, we decided those are all really heavy things. We need to just pause in the middle of this series and just kind of go, all right, so we're not going to talk about anything heavy this morning. You're not going to go out of here this morning going, man, do I need counseling? Do I need help? I want to encourage us this morning. And I want to start by telling a story. So I'm a pastor, and I get this, you know, I have all kinds of interesting conversations with people. Generally, when I meet somebody, I like to meet people outside of the church, and I don't like them to know that I'm a pastor, because as soon as they do, they kind of curb their behavior around me because they think, like, something's going to happen. Let me tell you, there is nothing special about my title as pastor. Nothing special. The only thing special in my mind about me is Jesus. Right? So when I'm having a conversation with people, I just want to hear stories. But when they find out I'm a pastor, it has a tendency to go south. And I was having this conversation with this guy. And I was like, man, just come to our church. Just come. Just check it out. No, man. I'm not going to do that. I'm like, listen, it'll be okay. And he goes, no. If I come to your church, you don't understand the crap. And he didn't say it that way. The stuff that's in my life. He said, if I come to your church, this is going to happen. If I come to your church, the thing will catch on fire. Do you understand how, but I'm a bad person. And I'm like, it's not going to catch on fire. Lightning bolts aren't going to come down and strike you. Like, if I walk in here, God will strike me. I can't. He comes to visit. And he's walking out, and he goes, this is what he says to me at the door. He goes, well, I didn't die, and your church didn't catch on fire, so I guess you were telling the truth. Listen, contrary to popular understanding, God is not the boogeyman who sits up on a throne just waiting for people to zap. That is not who he is. He is not a Godhead who sits and looks for people to destroy or to squash because they're evil sinners. He wants to change and transform lives and help people understand that they're really sons and daughters of him. That's it. That's what he wants us to know. You're not going to catch on fire. It's not going to happen. You're not going to catch a church on fire. And I have to have these conversations over and over and over again. So I want us to refocus as we've been doing this series and go back to that first sermon where I was talking about the image bearer of God and just kind of refocus our attention on the fact that it doesn't matter what is going on in your life, your situation doesn't dictate your relationship with God. Your situation, your behavior does not change how God views you. It just does not. And so I want to look at Galatians chapter 3, into 3, the beginning of 4 this morning. We're talking about moving from an orphan, or really almost a slave, into being an heir. So we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3, starting verse 26. In most of the Bibles in front of you, it's page 1130. 1130, or if you have an app on your phone or you pull something up online, that's fine. Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 26, and we're going to read the verse 7 of chapter 4. Simple, quick, painless, you will be encouraged. You will laugh, you will cry, you will go home wanting more of God, I promise. This is what it says in verse 26 of chapter 3. Listen along as I read. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, male nor female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to the guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Because you are sons and daughters, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, and that spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son or daughter. Since you are a son or daughter, God has made you an heir. It's all right to say amen to that. All right. You're not quite awake. That's fine. We'll get you there, hopefully, this morning. So I just want to highlight a couple things in this passage, this little section that we read this morning. First is this introduction to being an heir. And second, before being an heir, what that looks like before being an heir. And now that I am an heir. So it's heir before heir, or HBH, whatever helps you understand the concept that we're going through this morning. So I just want to look at this first section here at the end of chapter 3, the first of which it calls us sons or daughters of God. So if you believe in Jesus, that he died and rose again, and he is your Savior, you become his son or daughter. And we could stop right there and go home and go, yay, son or daughter. But I think we need to flesh out what that means. That happens through faith. So there is nothing that you can do to earn that gift from God. God gives it to you the moment you say, I want it. I want it, you get it. In the story, you don't have to jump through any hoops. You don't have to go through any kind of catechism or anything. You don't have to do any of that. You just have to verbalize by faith, God, I want you. You're his son or daughter. And we get in right there and go home, but I think we need to go a little bit deeper. He's literally, you're clothed with Christ. So all the junk that's in your life that would get you somehow fried or caught on fire by God is no longer seen by the Creator. Because when he looks at you, he sees Jesus. He doesn't see all your junk or all your crap. He sees you. And that might seem funny, and so this may work for you. Maybe you need to wear a shirt like this around. I'm all about that grace. Whatever it is, you are clothed with Jesus. So he no longer sees the stuff in your life that would keep you separated from him. This is not behavior modification. This is Jesus transformation. Let me say that again. This is not a relationship with God that leads to behavior modification. This is a relationship with God that leads to Jesus transformation. There is a huge difference. Every other belief system in the world depends on your behavior to attain something. In this religion, in this relationship with God, it depends on God. It ends with God. It's about Jesus' transformation. You are literally clothed with Jesus. So when the God of the universe looks at you, he sees the radiant glow of Jesus upon your life. Amen? And we can stop right there and we can go home, but I think we need to go a little bit further. He goes on to say, all are one in Jesus. There is no slave, no free, no male, no female, no Greek or Hebrew. And this is really, 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 really important in my mind. Because of Jesus, we are all the same. There is no room in a relationship with Jesus for hate. There is no room in a relationship with Jesus for unloving your neighbor. There is no room in a relationship with Jesus for the junk that this world offers. So racism is not allowed to exist in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Sexism is not allowed to exist in a relationship with Jesus Christ. ethnic whatever you want to label is not allowed to exist in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are all the same. We are all one. It stops and it ends with Jesus. Because it's no longer you and all your imperfections, it's Jesus and all his perfections. So that when we look at the people around us, we cannot view them through our lens anymore. We have to view them through the lens of Jesus. And when we don't, this whole thing gets kicked off kilter. And racism kicks in, and sexism kicks in, and ethnic cleansing kicks in, and hatred kicks in. But in Jesus, we are all one. In the story, no one is better than anyone else. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you think you are not. And scripture says that pride goes before the fall. If you belong to Jesus, hashtag heir. That's what you are. You are an heir. Some of you got up really early in the morning for this. Some of you literally do not care. Some of you didn't want to get up in the early in the morning, but you were intrigued, so you DVR'd it and watched it later. But on May 18th, 2018, this commoner in America became a princess in England, and the whole world watched. Well, some of us didn't. But it was very intriguing because in this moment, she went from an actress, an American, to a princess whose kinship are in line for the throne. In that marriage, she went from having money to having money. She went from being able to take care of her needs to having all her needs taken care of. There is literally a line item in the British Parliament that gives money for everything that she would need from here on out. She didn't have to worry about it, anything. It's all taken care of. And in that one moment, I do, her entire life changed. In our one moment, yes, Jesus, I need you, your life changes. You go from a commoner to a son or daughter of the creator of the universe. Can we just stop for a second? That's what happens. You come from a commoner who needs a lot to a prince or princess that has it all spiritually. We still have needs. We still have wants. But internally, you have everything you need in Jesus. You go from commoner to prince or princess. I just have been, like, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a prince. I wanted to kill a dragon. I was like, give me a sword. I want to go fight a dragon. In Jesus, you have fought a dragon. In fact, he has fought a dragon for you. The enemy of your soul has been destroyed through the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You're literally, in receiving Jesus, a dragon slayer. Come on, men. The only thing we want more than that is a pet monkey. Come on. Some of you are laughing because it's true. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let's keep going. In Genesis, or in Galatians chapter 4, it goes on to say, we gotta go a little bit deeper. So in this, there is no difference from a slave. And I want to flesh this out for us for a second, because when you first start reading that, you're like, wait a second, I thought it was in Jesus. What's going on? He's fleshing this out a little bit more for us so we can understand with understanding. There is no difference from us and a slave until Jesus is fully transformed and changed us. Until we come to that place, we'll still live in that old pattern. And it says here, there's a time set by his father that this transformation would happen. And what happened in the Roman culture was, there was coming of age in both Hebrew culture and Roman culture. But in the Roman culture, there wasn't like a set time period. It wasn't like when you reach 13, all of a sudden, boom, you're a man, or boom, you're a female, or you're a woman. It wasn't like that. The father decided. So based on your behavior, the father would go, not quite a man. Or, not quite a woman yet. But when the right moment happened, then there would be a ceremony and you would become a man or a woman. But before that, the basic principles of the world are at play here. And what he's saying is the basic principles of the world is, call it whatever you want. Call it karma. If I do good, good will happen. If I do bad, bad will happen. That's the world philosophy. Is it not? Like, when we have conversations with people, well, if I'm just good, then good things will happen to me. But if I'm bad, you know, then and something bad happens to me, well, I must have done something bad to receive. I don't know how many conversations I get into those. Well, you know, yeah, I screwed up this week, so something bad's probably going to happen. That's the old pattern of the world. That is not what the God of the universe wants for you or for me. That's not what he wants. He wants a new pattern for you. And isn't it awesome and amazing that it's not based on your behavior? It's based on his action. So the time set for you and for me was when Jesus came and died on the cross. And he said, from now on, anybody who wants me is a man or a woman. Anybody who desires me, who wants a relationship with me, has now been declared a man or a woman. They've been declared a son or a daughter. Miguel said this week, and I couldn't help but not. You don't have to be a product of how you were raised. And they kept talking. I was like, no, hold on a second. That was a Holy Spirit moment. I want to sit in this for a while. There are things that happen in our lives and situations that happen in our lives that we let dictate the rest of our lives. Things happen to us, or we do things, and we think there is no way out. I will always be dot, dot, dot. I will always feel dot, dot, dot. Or I will always experience dot, dot, dot. You don't have to be a product of dot, dot, dot. You get to be a product of King Jesus. I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor, and so I was inundated with Jesus most of my life. And I really feel like, looking back, that I was not the greatest Jesus follower. That I really came into a place in my life where it was me versus those who don't believe in Jesus. And I think I treated people as such. And like kids in my schools, in my junior high, in my high school, I thought, well, they don't know Jesus. Just look at them. That's how I treated people. And then this one day I was going to a retreat for guys after I had graduated from high school. It was a couple years after high school. I was going to this retreat, and everybody was showing up at this one location. We were going to take a bus and go somewhere. We were going somewhere together. A bunch of guys who love Jesus, we're all going somewhere. And I show up, and there's that dude from my high school. That guy who, like, I thought never in a million, of all the kids in my high school, this guy is never finding Jesus. Like, dude was constantly suspended or in trouble, you know, lighting fireworks off in the bathroom, getting caught in bomb scares. Like, I mean, just, he was and I had just literally written this guy off in my mind. If I'm honest, I had written this dude off. And here he comes walking up to the bus. What's up, Jeff? I didn't know you knew Jesus. In that one moment, it was like, God, what? I didn't know you knew Jesus. He started working for this guy because he fell in love with his daughter. Fell in love with this guy's daughter who loved Jesus. He said, listen, if you're going to date my daughter, then you're going to come and you're going to work with me. I'm going to teach you my trade, and then we'll talk about you dating my daughter. He's like, whatever I have to do, I want to date your daughter. And the more they worked together, the more this guy talked about Jesus, about how he changed his life, and the more this kid that I went to high school with wanted to know Jesus. And then he became less concerned with dating the girl and more concerned with, who the heck is this guy Jesus and why is this guy so awesome? He's the best boss I've ever had. He treats people with respect. He doesn't screw people over. He is nice to people when people treat him terribly. There is something different about this guy. I want to know what it is. And he came to a relationship with Jesus Christ and then married the daughter. And then I run into him. I didn't know you knew Jesus. When Jesus is in your life, it has to and must change you. And there is nothing that you can do or say that will keep you from God wanting a relationship with you. Nothing. You can think you are the worst of the worst. God still wants you. There are some people in prison right now that we would go, yep, they deserve to die. Jesus still wants them. He still wants to declare those people sons and daughters of God, because why? They were created in his image, and he wants them back. He wants them back. He goes on to say, when the time had fully come, there was an appointed time at which God wanted to send his son in the world, and he just happened to do it when the Roman Empire took over. As evil and crazy as they were, there were roads that led to everywhere. And so when Jesus came, the story of Jesus could be spread around the whole world. He's God, he understands, and he knows. For those living at the time, it was not soon enough. But he came at the appointed time when it was just the right time so that the truth could be spread throughout the whole world. And says, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And Guzik says it better than I ever would. Because Jesus is God, he has the power and the resources to redeem us. Pause. Because Jesus is man, he has the right and the ability to redeem us. Pause. He came to purchase us out of the slavery market from our bondage to sin and the elements of the world. Because he is both God and man, he had both the manness and the godness to take care of sin and purchase us out of the slave market, to move us from orphans and slaves into sons and daughters of the king, to pull us out of bad equals bad, good equals good, into bad or good equals good. You now had the full rights as sons. And really, the Greek word there is adoption. And what does adoption look like is, literally in the Roman culture, you could choose to give your heir, like to make your son or daughter an heir or not. You could choose to disown your child because you didn't like them. Aren't you glad you don't live there? So when you declared your son or daughter an heir, you were saying you fully desired them and you fully love them and you were making them a joint share in everything that the Father has. And Paul, the writer of this book, knew this. And so he used the understanding of the day and said, you guys know about this. You know what an heir means. You are chosen by God to now be an heir. You are fully desired and loved by Creator God, and now you share in everything that God wants to offer. And the first thing that he wants to offer is his Spirit in your life to cry back to him, Abba, Father. Thank you, Daddy. You are no longer a slave. There is nothing about bondage in a relationship with Jesus. You are not bound by sin or any of your imperfections anymore. Scripture says they are thrown away as far as the east is from the west. They are literally forgotten. Yes, God can forget if he wants to because he's God, and he chooses to because he's God, and so he's forgotten, and you are seen as a son or a daughter of the king. He has now made you an heir. I want to close with this story, and I think I've told it before, but I woke up this morning, and I just felt, somebody's got to hear this. I have this pastor guy that I know. And one of our values as a church is we will listen to God. So we believe that God speaks. He will speak to your heart. He will speak to your mind. He will speak to your soul. He'll speak in images. He'll speak in pictures. He'll speak through his word. A still small voice in your gut, you'll just know because he's God. That's how he speaks. And a buddy of mine would sit and listen and ask God to speak. And he was a youth pastor up in New England, and there was this huge snowstorm going on, so he went in his office, he's got nothing, can't go anywhere, so he's just going to sit in his office and listen to God. So he goes and he sits in his office, he says, "All right, God, do you have anything to say to me?" And he very distinctly heard in his core, "I want you to go to the grocery store." He's like, "God, have you looked outside? It's a snowstorm." And he couldn't get over this thought of, "You need to go to the grocery store. You need to go to the grocery store. You need to go to the grocery store." So he goes, tells his wife, he's like, "Listen, I was in my office praying. I just feel like God was telling me you need to go to the grocery store." And he really wanted his wife to go, "No, that's crazy. There's a snowstorm." And she's like, "Well, if God's telling you to go to the grocery store, what are you supposed to go for?" He goes, "I don't know. It'll be okay." And listen, I'm not advising this, all right? I'm not saying, you know, when you're sitting in the snowstorm, God is telling you to do something. This worked. It doesn't always. So he's sitting, he's listening, God says, "Go to the grocery store." So he goes to the grocery store. "All right, God, what do you want me to do?" There's an elderly couple that is going to show up at the store. "I want you to give the wife flowers." What? And now he's like, "What did I eat? What is going on?" And he goes into the grocery store, and he's like pulling through the snow, gets in the grocery store. Not a soul is in the grocery store except for those that work there. Can't even believe the thing's open. So he's in the grocery store, walks around the whole, nobody's in there. He's like, "Well, clearly I misheard. I don't know what I'm supposed to do." And he goes to get back in the car, and he heard, "Stop." So he stops, and he's like looking at his watch, and it's like 5-10 minutes. And he goes, "All right, that's it, I'm going." He goes, "Wait." All of a sudden, headlights pull into the grocery store. Elderly couple gets out, and they walk in the store. And now he's like, "No way! Holy cow, no way!" So he's like, "All right, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to buy flowers, and I want you to go up to the wife, and I want you to say, God says I love you, and you're my princess." He's like, "God, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not going up to some guy's wife and saying God loves you and he wants you to know you're his princess." And it's stronger and stronger and stronger. He's like, "All right." So he goes and he buys the flowers. And he waits for the couple to leave. And he walks out to them and he goes, "Hey," to the husband, "would it be okay if I give your wife flowers?" And both of their eyes got super large. And they were like, "Yeah?" And so he hands the flowers to the woman. And he said, "Would it be all right if I say something to you?" And she said, "Sure." And he said, "I was just praying. I felt like God telling me, I'm supposed to tell you, he loves you and you're his princess." And the woman starts bawling. And he's like, "Great, God, thanks a lot. I just made this. You're supposed to help the wise." And he goes, "Hey, you know, have a great day." And he gets in his car and he goes home. When he gets home, his wife is on the phone. And he's like, "Hey, it's Johnny from church. He wants to talk to you." So he gets on the phone. He goes, "Were you just at the grocery store in the snowstorm?" And he's like, "Yeah, why?" And he goes, "Did you talk to an elderly couple at the grocery store?" And he goes, "Yeah, why?" And he goes, "That's my aunt and uncle." He goes, "Do you know their story?" He goes, "No, I don't know their story. I was sitting in the office and God said to go." And he's like, "My aunt and uncle were just coming from the hospital. She just found out she has stage 4 cancer and she's probably going to die. And they were going to the grocery store to pick up a couple items because they needed a couple, and they risked the snowstorm on the way home to pick up a couple items before they go. They were both on Social Security, didn't have a whole lot of money, and the wife says to the husband, "You know what would just make this day better, because it sucked? Would if we could buy some flowers. I would love some flowers in our house." And he said, "Honey, we can't. Like, we'll have to wait until we get the check. I'll come back and I'll get you some flowers." And she's like, "All right." And she says to him, "You know, when I was little, I believed in God. And I really felt when I was little that I was God's princess. And that he cared about me. And I don't feel like he cares about me anymore." And then you show up at the grocery store in the middle of the snowstorm and give my aunt flowers and tell her that she is loved by God and she is his princess. She was floored. Thank you for listening to God. I don't know your circumstance. I don't know your situation. But I know this. No matter what your circumstance is, no matter what your situation, God still sees you and knows you and loves you. And whether you've heard him speak to you or not, he is speaking. And he wants you to know that you are loved and cared for despite what is going on in your current life. He loves you and he sees you and he cares about you, whether it feels like he does or not. So this is how I want us to close. Do you feel stuck in a pattern of earning and deserving? Like you just feel stuck. Bad equals bad, good equals good. I just need to be gooder. If that's you this morning, I want to say, just stop. Be still and know that God is God. If you're ready to profess Jesus as King, understand that he responds immediately. There is no pause. There is no waiting. He isn't going to look you up in his little God book and go, no, you don't quite make it. He looks you up in his God book the moment you say, I want him, and he sees Jesus paid it all. It's gone. So I want us to walk out this morning in a declaration. So if we could all stand. If you want to make a declaration, I have one for us. If it's not quite your time, that's all right. God is patient and he will wait. He loves you and wants you. But I believe he wants us to say something out loud this morning. And so I want us to say this together. There's this page and another page. And I believe this with all my heart, mind, and soul. And I want you, if you believe in Jesus, to say this as well. Make this a declaration of your soul this morning. I'm going to count to three and we're going to say this together. One, two, three. I declare today, October 14th, 2018, that through Jesus, I have been made a son of God. I am no longer bound by the spiritual forces of this world. I am an heir to King Jesus. As an heir of God, I have everything I need. I am fearfully and wonderfully made and loved by God. I believe this and I receive this. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that we really would receive that and believe it. I pray that people would be transformed, changed by your love and your power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.